Today, we talk about the Google Drive. We talk about the FBI and their role in making sure that we all still have internet access. Khan Academy, Adobe's recent announcements, Barack Obama urging Congress to take probably ineffective steps on Stafford loans, education reform requests and failures, Florida and their financial mess, Virginia Tech and a very novel approach to math education, and more. This time, this today on ENT.
This is ENT, the Ed News ticker for Wednesday, April 25th, 2012. ENT is brought to you by Imagine K-12. Imagine K-12, the Silicon Valley incubator for EdTech companies, will start its summer 2012 program in July. The online application is currently open and is due on May 4. So visit imagink12.com/apply for more information. And welcome to ENT. My name is Kirsten Winkler.
And I'm Christopher Dawson. So today in tech, this week in tech, Google Drive officially launches with 5 gigabytes of free storage and Google Docs integration. The Google Drive officially launched yesterday. The service offers 5 gigabytes of storage space for documents, videos, photos, PDFs, and other files, and Google Docs is built into the service, and it's rolling out gradually across users and organizations. Users can upgrade to 25 gigabytes of space for $249 a month, 100 gigabytes for $499 a month, or 1 terabyte for $49.99 a month, and upgrading to a paid account expands your Gmail storage as well to 25 gigabytes. Google Docs functionality within Google Drive will allow users to work with others in real time, as you can currently in Google Docs, and includes the ability to share content with others, reply to comments, receive notifications for new comments on documents or files, and Google says you can also search everything, of course, in Drive by keyword or filter by file type, owner, and other criteria. The service can also recognize text in scanned documents. That's courtesy of The Verge.
Interesting to you, Chris, or do we stick to Dropbox, or do you use some of the other services?
You know, I'm on the edge of dumping my Dropbox. I use Google mm-hmm. Docs all the time anyway, but I use Dropbox for a lot. But if I can just have it all in one place for less money than I'm paying for my premium Dropbox account,
sure. Could it's be really interesting.
Compelling, absolutely.
Okay. Then, courtesy of the Huffington Post, the FBI informs that hundreds of thousands may lose internet in July after the FBI took down an advertising scammering in Estonia that infected computers with malware. The FBI has set up a safety net months ago using government computers to prevent internet disruptions for those infected users. But that system is to be shut down because it's too expensive to keep it running. The FBI is encouraging users to visit a website run by its security partner, and you can access the site by going to www.dcwg.org, and they will inform whether you might be one of the infected users and explain how to fix the problem. And once again, after July 9th, infected users won't be able to connect to the internet, so better check now.
Definitely. Yeah, check that one out. So in happier news, the Khan Academy partners up with 23andMe to make learning about genetics fun. Not that it wasn't fun anyway, but to celebrate the National DNA Day, the Khan Academy has announced a partnership with personal genetics testing company 23andMe to promote the importance of genetics education. Specifically, this means that Khan Academy's website now has educational videos produced by 23andMe on topics such as Genetics 101. That's from TechCrunch. Interesting addition to Khan Academy.
Definitely. I wonder whether they might get in trouble with all this talk about creationism and so on. That's currently
Khan's immune. He's immune from any criticism.
I think so as well.
Lucky guy.
So something that will make you, Chris, pretty happy, I think. We can find a story on Edudemic that Adobe Creative Suite 6 products and Adobe Creative Cloud are scheduled to be available end of May. And the student and teacher edition of Adobe Creative Cloud is available for $29.99 a month, US dollars that is. So pretty pretty good in pricing here. Volume licensing for Creative Cloud Team Ready is available via the Adobe Transactional Licensing Program. Adobe is also offering a new Adobe K-12 Enterprise Agreement designed for the needs of school districts in the United States and Canada. Good news.
Yeah, it is good news. I think they finally hit a price point that where they can expand their offerings elsewhere. They did some research as well, suggesting that there's a real need for creative instruction and creative tools widely available. So I'm thrilled to see this sort of pricing.
And to learn about those tools, check out your Tool of the Week pick, I think, last week, or definitely check on C12.
Yep, absolutely. So Adobe also announced a $1 million scholarship in conjunction with their Creative Cloud announcement. $1 million scholarship for high school seniors pursuing creative careers. CEO Shantanu Narayen announced that the company is committing $1 million to establish the Adobe Foundation Creativity Scholarships, a new global initiative intended to unlock the creative potential of students. Scholarships will be offered to high school seniors who participate in the Adobe Youth Voices program and will help students continue their education, pursue creative careers, and find innovative ways to improve their communities. Stories featured on the Next Web.
So it's not all about STEM only, not only.
No. Well, you know, it's interesting, though. The research they're doing and the work they're promoting is really the cross-curricular creative endeavors, which includes STEM and can, you know, maybe engage people in STEM and elsewhere who may be a little more artistic in their interests.
I think to see it as a whole and really span and look into different things. So quite a few stories going on in K-12 and higher ed. First one is President Barack Obama to urge Congress to maintain lower Stafford loan interest rates at CU Boulder. So continuing on his topic for this week's presidential address, the president used his speaking events Tuesday and Wednesday to urge Congress to hold the interest rates on subsidized Stafford loans at their current 3.4%. The federally backed loan program helps make college more affordable for low and middle income undergraduates, but if the law cutting the interest rates for the program expires, the rates will double by July 1st to 6.8%, or the current rate for unsubsidized loans. So I think an important issue for many people in the country.
Yeah, I've got a few of those loans myself. So
subsidized or unsubsidized?
Both. I have more than my share. Can't seem to get rid of those guys. So, and I'm certainly not alone here. Need to
definitely
keep those from a reasonable rate. So education reform protests are picking up speed. In Texas, New York, Illinois, and other states, protests by parents and educators are getting louder against school reform that insists on using standardized test scores as a basis for evaluating students, educators, and schools. According to the Washington Post, educators have repeatedly warned that this evaluation method is not reliable. We've warned as well. It doesn't take into account all the out-of-school reasons that could affect how a student does on a test. But the Obama administration has pushed it, and states have been adopting new teacher accountability systems that are heavily weighted test scores, but that's also why we've seen states actually opt out of Race to the Top. So we'll see where that program goes.
Not so good news from Florida. How Governor Rick Scott is sabotaging Florida's universities. So an interesting piece here by David DeSalvo on Forbes. He discusses Scott's decisions in the education sector. Just an example, Governor Scott signed the 2012 state budget at a Jacksonville elementary school, and presumably to emphasize the budget's inclusion of an additional $1 billion for education. Sounds great. But would only be impressive if not for the fact that last year he cut the state's education budget by 1.3 million. So 300 million missing, and it's not as great as it might sound when you hear it the first time.
All politics. And in related news, also featured in Forbes, the University of Florida eliminates their computer science department. As a reaction to Governor Scott's education planning, the University of Florida announced this past week that it was dropping its computer science department, which will allow it to save about $1.7 million from its bottom line. The school is eliminating all funding for teaching assistants in computer science, cutting the graduate and research programs entirely, and moving the tattered remains into other departments because, well, we don't really care much about computer science these days. So
that can't be the right way to go. Okay, so then at Virginia Tech, computers help solve the math class problem. So in the math emporium, instructors are reduced to roving guides. Lessons are self-paced, and help is delivered on demand in a vast windowless lab that is open 24 hours a day. 8,000 students a year to take introductory math in a space that once housed a discount department store. For math instructors, none of them professors, lead 7 courses with enrollments of between 200 to 2,000 students. And that was 4 math instructors, of course, so the number 4. And, good new use they found for this old department store.
Okay. Yeah, and maybe I can't imagine it being any worse than those giant lecture halls where students doze off in the back after partying all night. So definitely a new approach.
Mm-hmm.
So concerned academics, though, are now setting up a free university in Lincoln. This group, which includes lecturers from the University of Lincoln, argues higher education has become a highly commercialized and profit-oriented endeavor. Calling themselves the Social Sciences Center, the 40 academics will teach students to the equivalent of BA, MA, and PhD levels. The university will open in September, and all students will be part-time and will be taught in evenings and weekends. That's from the BBC.
That's pretty interesting. I'm wondering what means equivalent to and how to prove this. And again, an interesting, innovative approach. And, well, it's a matter of fact, or definitely we can consider that university is getting increasingly expensive. So we'll see.
Yeah, so.
Speaking of expensive, so the most expensive copyright insurance policy in Canadian history. Last week, the Association of Universities and Colleges Canada, which represents dozens of Canada's leading universities, signed up for one of the most expensive copyright insurance policies in Canadian history. The policy comes in the form of a controversial model copyright licensing agreement with Access Copyright, a copyright collective that licenses copying and distribution of copyrighted works such as books, journals, and other texts. So should AUCC members sign the agreement, it falls to each individual university to decide whether to do so. They will pay $26 per full-time student per year for the right to copy words from the Access Copyright repertoire.
Great.
That's going to get to be expensive.
Yeah, so somebody definitely came out smelling like a rose on that agreement, but we have to figure out DRM and copyright education somehow. Someone's going to have to pay. So speaking of paying, Harvard is now spending nearly $3.75 million a year on academic journal bundles. Harvard may be the second wealthiest nonprofit institution in the world, right behind the Catholic Church, but even so, the price tag for its collection of academic journal bundles lining its library shelves is too high, close to $3.75 million, according to a memo from the faculty committee released last week. Some journals cost as much as $40,000, more than 1 year of tuition at Harvard, and many cost thousands or tens of thousands. In response, the committee is actually recommending that faculty consider publishing their work in open access publications.
Mm-hmm.
That's featured on The Atlantic.
Yeah. So, something's going on there in this.
Oh, yeah.
Ivy.
Well, Harvard and MIT have talked for a while about publishing openly and not and publishing negative research results as well, which is something that never happens in the mainstream journals. So being able to be a little more transparent and maybe save some money.
Oh, yeah, I remember our discussion there on ReviewEd about exactly that topic. So study and research, the next segment, we can read that over 50% of graduates are jobless or at least underemployed. So according to a report by the Associated Press, about 1.5 million or 53.6% of bachelor's degree holders under the age of 25 were jobless or underemployed. Young adults with bachelor's degrees are increasingly scraping by in lower wage jobs, waiter, waitress, bartender, retail clerk, you name it, receptionist, for example, and that's confounding. Of course, their hopes a degree would pay off despite higher tuition and mounting student loans. So definitely a problem, and not only an American problem, but
worldwide. Right. So speaking of paying for school, it translates down into to K-12 as well. If you'd like to live near a good school, it will cost you an extra $205,000, according to a research in the Washington Post. It costs a whole lot more to buy a house in a good school district. A new report by Jonathan Rothwell of the Brookings Institution has the numbers. Across the 100 largest metropolitan areas, housing costs are an average of 2.4 times as much, or nearly $11,000 more per year near high-scoring public schools than near low-scoring public schools. And certainly here in the greater Boston Metro, much greater Boston Metro, that's absolutely the case. There's a reason I live in the woods with my kids. So, that's, again, a serious problem, having equitable access to reasonable education.
It's really considerable, yeah. And, I mean, parents really invest in their kids, so also in a more indirect way. As we can
definitely. On that closes this episode of ENT. You'll find all the links to the articles we covered on EduQuest. Just go to eduquest.com/ENT4. That's the number 4. Also, follow EdNewsTicker on Twitter, @EdNewsTicker, to stay updated during the week. ENT will be back on Friday. Until then, have a great week, everyone.